Sportscast, October 8th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, Facebook, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net. This show is brought to you by InstaBible. Read the Bible on your iPhone with pictures. Oregon wins its third straight game over California. A 17-7 victory on Saturday at Autzen Stadium. Justin Herbert threw for 214 yards, one touchdown, extended his touchdown streak to 33 games while powering the Ducks to 404 yards of total offense. Cal's defense gave the Ducks all they could handle, holding the home team without a touchdown in the first half. The Golden Bears have now held 13 straight opponents under 25 points, the longest active streak in the FBS. And to talk to us a little bit about this game, Mr. Ty Turner, welcome back.
A bit.
So, California, holding off Oregon under 25 points, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, they held them 17-7. It was not a pretty game. It was definitely not one of the, it was not like a thing of beauty by any stretch of the imagination. You know, there was turnovers, both teams. There was penalties, both teams. A little bit of floppy execution by both teams. It was honestly not a great game, to be honest with you. The good news is they won, and that's positive. And not only did they win, they beat a Pac-12 North opponent. They are now undefeated in the Pac-12 North at 2-0, with two victories over fellow North rivals Stanford and California. And as they'd find out later that night, when Stanford would beat Washington, they would have a significant lead over, like, Washington, Stanford, Cal, with both of them losing two games. The only other team in the North is Oregon State with one loss. And if I was going to say the one team in the North that you'd only want to be, like, a game behind you, it's Oregon State, because I think the other teams are better than Oregon State. Stanford, California, Washington, and Washington State, who all have two losses. So Oregon's in a pretty good shape already in the Pac-12 North, but long season to go. The positives from the game, let's go from the positives. The defense, once again, was very good. Now, a lot was made that Cal was going to be starting a backup, and he did play. Chase Garbers is out for the season pretty much with a shoulder injury. But the backup actually didn't play that bad, and if you compare his numbers to Chase Garber's numbers, they're pretty much the same. So it wasn't like Cal really was that much different with Monster as opposed to with Garbers. If anyone looks at it objectively, it's actually pretty much even. He ran for about as many yards as Garbers normally runs for. He threw for about as many yards as Garbers normally throws for. He threw as many touchdowns as Garber. So there wasn't a huge difference in back quarterback. And Oregon did a good job. Oregon has not only allowed single-digit number of points in the four games since Auburn, they did allow their first touchdown since Auburn. But once again, a very good defensive performance. It's hard to blame. Cal basically couldn't run the ball. They did make some plays in the past game, but still not a ton. A couple interceptions, once again forcing turnovers. The defense has just been very good. Oregon's defense is top 10 in efficiency at number 9. They're 7th in scoring defense. I think they're 8th in total defense. And if you go by the ESPN S&P, which is like a projection off it taking away garbage time and non-Power 5 opponents, Oregon has the number 1 defense per the ESPN S&P ranking in the country. So it's kind of strange because Oregon's known for offense. Oregon's been known for the fast offense, the tempo, you know, that's just been known for ever since I've known Oregon, that it's been known for. Not right now. Right now it's known for defense. And offense, conversely, has not been great. They did have 404 yards on the game, which is not bad for total offense, against one of the best defenses. Big Cal's a top 25 defense as far as efficiency and total defense. I believe they're top 15 when it comes to defense against the pass. So that was a pretty good defensive team. And it was, you know, they ran Oregon ran pretty effectively. The problem is they turned it over three times, two times in the red zone, two fumbles by Travis Dye. And Justin Herbert definitely had his least effective game, especially statistically. He completed 61% of his passes. He threw his first interception. So it was not a great offensive performance. They have to score more in the future than the 21 points against Stanford, the 17 points against Cal. And it's starting to be a little worrisome. There's definitely a narrative out there. It's kind of negative towards his offense. The three games against the Power 5 teams, 21 against Auburn, 21 against Stanford, 17 against Cal, that averages out to 19.7. That ranks their offense outside of the top 50 in the S&P, actually at 52. Now, if you add in the other two games, Nevada and Montana, they're actually number 35 as far as offensive efficiency. But the reality is the offense has not been amazing so far. And honestly, well, okay, that's it. So there you go with the Cal game. I was going to say something on Herbert.
No,
I'll go
yeah.
into
Were you surprised?
There you go.
Were you surprised that California was able to hold off Oregon to so little points like that?
It was more that, okay, you can't turn the ball over in the red zone. If they had the ball at the 9-yard line, they fumbled. They had the ball, I think they had the ball at the 13. The guy, Johnny Johnson III, gets an unsportsmanlike conduct call, 15-yard penalty, takes him back to the 28, and then Herbert throws an interception the next pass. So they go from being in the red zone to being penalized outside and taken outside of the red zone to Herbert throwing an interception. Can't do that. Next, another series, they're driving. I think they're inside Cal's 40, and Travis Dye fumbles the ball. You can't do that. Turnovers are going to kill you. The 404 total offense is not bad. If you had told me that they had 404 yards total offense, I would have said they scored 24 to 30 points. Unfortunately, you can't turn the ball over. And the fact that they were able to move the ball pretty effectively but turned it over so many times was kind of frustrating. But their offense has to be better. Whether it's turnovers, whether it's penalties, whether it is drop passes, whether it is just not scoring enough touchdowns, Oregon's offense is not playing at a high enough level yet. Their defense is playing amazing. Their defense can't play any better.
They're consistent.
The reality of it is the offenses we're facing coming up, Colorado, Washington, not as much Washington, but Washington State, what's another good offense, USC, these guys are going to probably score some more points. They're much better offenses.
How about Arizona State?
So our offense has – Arizona State has a terrible offense. They have a good defense, but Arizona State is, I think, maybe the worst offense in the Pac-12. Or you mean Arizona? Arizona, yeah, Arizona has a good offense. So, like, Arizona, USC, Washington State, Colorado, they all have good offenses. They all have dynamic quarterbacks. You got, like, Stephen Montez, who's a four-year starter, a guy who probably will play in the NFL. You got LaVisca Chenault, who's a first-round draft pick. I'll go into the Colorado preview in a little bit. But these other teams, and the USC has crazy talented wide receivers, these other teams have talented offenses. I don't think the defense is going to be able to hold them to, like, no touchdowns or single digits. I think our offense has to play better. The good news is the defenses we're playing against coming up are not as good. Colorado has a horrible defense. I'll break it down a little bit when you ask me about Colorado. Colorado's not good defensively. Arizona's not good defensively. USC's pretty inconsistent defensively. So the good news is we're not playing as good at defenses as Cal or even as good as Stanford or definitely not as good as Auburn. But our offense still has to play better.
As Tyler was mentioning, Colorado is the next opponent for Oregon. Colorado's playing his third-ranked opponent of the season. They've beaten number 25, then number 25, Nebraska, and also Arizona State by combined 6 points. The Buffaloes, though, are coming off a 35-30 loss at Arizona on Saturday in a game that featured 9 lead changes. What do you expect to play when you play against Colorado?
I kind of went into it, and I'll go into it a little bit more. They have a good offense. Steven Montez is a four-year starter. He's a solid quarterback. Laviska Shenault's one of the best players in Pac-12, even in college football. He'll be a first-round draft pick. He was injured last week. Is he going to be healthy this week? We'll see. I think it's Troy Brown. Might have his name wrong. He's one of the better receivers in the Pac-12. Katie Nixon, dynamic receiver. He's also been battling injury. That's the problem with Colorado. They have a lot of injuries. But if they are all healthy and they have an experienced O-line, I believe all their starters from last year came back. Offensively, it's a challenge. Defensively, Colorado's terrible. I don't know how to put it any other way. They've given up 30-plus points in every single game. They have the number 112 ranked defense per defensive efficiency. They're even lower when it comes to pass defense. I believe they're like one of the worst in all of the Power Five. Not just Power Five, sorry. I think they maybe are the worst when it comes to Power Five. One of the lowest when it comes to the FBS. They have three of the four D-backs, starting D-backs, were out injured last week. I don't know if any of them will be back. They're playing, I know at one point, and I don't know if this could be this week, they were playing a third-string quarterback who was converted to safety during fall camp at safety. They're not that great on even the DL. They're okay. Linebackers aren't that great. I've seen them play. They're not that fast. They gave up 31 points to a Nebraska offense. It's obviously proven to not be that good. They gave up 30 points to Air Force offense. That's not that good. They gave up 31 points to an Arizona State offense. It's really not that good. If Oregon doesn't score 30-plus points at home against this defense, it starts time to really start worrying if maybe this offensive staff is not the future for Oregon, because this is not a good defense. They aren't. Statistics say it. Personnel says it. The amount of injuries even towards the defense is not good. That makes it even worse. Not a good defense. But offensively, this is much more of a challenge. I would say this is the biggest challenge for the defense. Experienced quarterback, experienced and talented wide receivers, experienced offensive line. Running game's nothing to brag about, but it's solid. Offensively, they will provide a challenge. I think it's going to be more of a high-scoring game than we've seen the rest of this year for Oregon. Oregon's games have not been high-scoring. I mean, they scored 77-6 against Nevada and 35-3 against Montana, but their games against the Power Five, 27-21, 21-6, 17-7. They just haven't been high-scoring games. I expect this to be 41-24.
Save it for predictions. But it's okay. We'll definitely write down. Colorado recorded its first Pac-12 victory over Oregon in six tries in the most recent meeting in 2016, winning 41-38 on the road as Montez threw for 333 yards and three touchdowns, including the go-ahead score to Bryce Bobo with 8:43 to play. Do you remember that game?
So say that again?
Do you remember like the game where they played against Colorado back in 2016?
Oh, yeah. That was the terrible Oregon team that went 4-8. Mark Helfrich got fired. Yeah, they lost in the last second.
I remember. 41-38. But here's some good news for you. After Saturday's disappointing loss to Arizona, Colorado losing to Arizona, the fallout should be expected. Colorado is open as a 22-point underdog against Oregon. So,
yep.
That's a good sign for you.
I mean, sure. I mean, Oregon should win this game. Yeah, there's no question about it.
We'll see what happens with the injuries of Colorado has with Montez. Obviously, he's one of the main players in that program.
Montez is hurt? Montez is hurt?
I thought you mentioned that. Did you mention that?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think he was hurt. No, Laviska Shenault, the wide receiver.
Okay.
Yep.
Sorry about that.
And Katie Nixon. Yeah.
Anyways, let's look in also in college football, another big game. Some might say it's a shocker. Some may say it's not. Florida beating Auburn. What were your thoughts about that? 24-13.
Oh, okay. Now, remember, ask me about Herbert.
Oh.
Just so you don't forget.
Well, yeah.
But if you want to go on to that.
I mean, you did well. You did mention about Herbert already, but we could rephrase it again. What were your thoughts about Herbert's performance against California?
Well, it was not just California. It's Herbert's performance against, because I don't want to ever come. I want to be as objective as possible when I like people. I like teams. I like the Ducks. I love Justin Herbert as a person. But at the same time, you have to be objective about his performances. Mm-hmm. And there is a little bit of a scary trend when it comes to Justin Herbert. When Justin Herbert plays against more talented teams or teams that can match up with his talent, he doesn't play very well. I could give you multiple instances of against Washington last year, against Utah last year, against Michigan State in the bowl game, against Auburn this year. I'm not saying he plays bad. He doesn't make tons of mistakes. He's not like throwing under 50%. You know, it's not bad, but he doesn't necessarily do enough to really warrant being the man that leads him to victory. In some of those instances, he straight up didn't lead them to victory. Against Auburn, against Utah last year, and a guy that's projected to be a first-round draft pick, a guy that is heralded as maybe being the best quarterback, maybe the number one pick, not just the first-round draft pick, but maybe the number one pick in the entire NFL draft. I think there has to be a time where, first of all, he has to take the team on his back and lead them to victory. On him. Not on other things. Like, they've won a couple games, but I wouldn't necessarily say it was because of the play of Justin Herbert. I mean, even against Cal, he fumbles the ball in the fourth quarter. They're ahead 10-7. If his offensive lineman doesn't hustle and recover it, Cal would have had the ball in Oregon territory. He can't fumble the ball there. That interception he threw, should have never thrown the ball against Auburn. Where was he to lead the team to victory? They're ahead 21-6. Why couldn't he help close the deal? These are just some things that about Justin Herbert, the conversation that it does worry me. Like, it doesn't seem like some people have it. Some people, when in the game's on the line, they're like, give the game to me and I will win. I will take the team to victory. And I will admit, I haven't seen that from Justin Herbert. Instead, against the tougher teams, he sometimes is the reason maybe why they don't win, with interceptions or a fumble or just not making the plays. So where this all goes down to is I want to see Justin Herbert through these last 7-8 games of his Oregon career. I want him to win games. And I want him to win against teams that are pretty good and teams that he has to be the reason why they win. Against a Washington, maybe against a USC, maybe against an Arizona State, maybe in the Pac-12 championship against a Utah, maybe it's a bowl game or Rose Bowl against a Wisconsin. I want Justin Herbert to win that game and him to be the reason why, not be the reason why possibly they lost the game because he's not making the play. That's all.
Well,
and I love Justin Herbert. He's a great person. He has all the talent in the world. Has the best arm talent in college football. But he has to make plays.
Will Colorado be tougher than California?
As far as what?
As far as like the defense, Colorado's defense versus California's defense.
What I just told you. What did I say?
Well, say it again.
What did I say about Colorado's defense?
Their forgot.
Defense is horrible.
Say it. Okay, there you go.
No. California has a good defense.
Yeah, I saw
California
that.
California has the number two defense in the Pac-12. Efficiency, passing defense, total defense. California did have a good defense, but that doesn't matter. Justin Herbert is a first-round draft pick. Justin Herbert is a projected top 10 pick. Justin Herbert's a Heisman Trophy candidate. Justin Herbert's a four-year starter. Justin Herbert should be the reason why they win the game. He wasn't the reason why they won the game. They won the game because they played very good defense, and that's why they won. I don't know what to say. The defense won that game the other night. The offense didn't. The offense, if anything, with the turnovers and the penalties, put the defense in bad positions that the game, if California would have had a little better offense, California could have jumped out to a 17-0 lead, and Oregon wouldn't have been able to come back and win it. And so Justin Herbert-led team can't be doing that. He has to make the plays to win the game. He can't be the reason why they lose. And just a couple times this year, he's been underwhelming against good teams. Mainly Auburn, second half, and Cal. I want to see him. Do I think he's going to have a pretty good game this week against Colorado? Yeah, I do. I really do. I think he's going to throw like five touchdowns. But Colorado's not good on defense. They're terrible. And I know when he plays against terrible defenses, he's going to have a good game. You go throughout his career, even since his freshman year. If he plays a terrible team, oh, yeah, he'll score like seven touchdowns. Yeah. But it's when he plays against good teams, he doesn't make the plays.
What you just said a couple minutes ago about Herbert and his situation of winning the games, have you been hearing like the same argument from like NFL scouts?
Yeah, I actually have. Yeah, two things have always been the question about him: consistency, because once in a while he'll just be inconsistent, like he just misses passes. He'll be just inaccurate and inconsistent during the middle of a game. That's one. And the second one, yeah, he does not really stick up in big moments. It's not like, man, it's 14-10, 2 minutes left, Justin Herbert's taking the field, and Oregon got this. No, it's more like, is Herbert just going to not do anything? And I've seen him. I've seen games where he could have led them to victory, and instead, crunch time, he starts just misfiring. Stanford last year, when it started going backwards, he went backwards as a team. Arizona State 2 years ago went backwards as a team. Utah at the end didn't lead them to victory. There is a couple other games he did. Michigan State, he did have the game winning touchdown. Cal, he did lead them back to the victory against Cal. But I wouldn't say it's necessarily specifically in either of those circumstances were Herbert. And actually, both those circumstances, the defense made big plays. Troy Dye had a big interception at 10-7 and brought the ball back to Cal territory. It was a huge play by the defense. Against Michigan State, the defense made a couple huge plays and gave the ball back to the offense. I wouldn't say in any of those circumstances, yes, it was a come-from-behind victory, but I wouldn't say that was necessarily because of the play of Justin Herbert.
Yeah. Tyler, I love your analysis on Justin Herbert. You're very passionate about him.
Yeah, I mean, I like the guy, and I think he's the most talented quarterback. He's definitely this draft. He's more talented than Tua. I will never change my mind on that. He's bigger. He's stronger. He's probably faster. Go watch Herbert run. You kind of forget how fast he is, but he decided he hadn't been keeping the ball. Well, he decided to keep the ball a couple times the last game. Well, he keeps run-pass option. He literally outran the safety.
Wow.
I mean, this big 6'6", 240 guy is literally flying by a safety. And you're like, man, he's fast.
That's a big plus if he's mobile. That's a big plus.
4'6", maybe 4'5".
Yeah,
he's fat. But then he's also, it's another thing, he's reluctant to run sometimes. Like, there'll be a wide open range and Herbert won't run it. It's just something sometimes seems to be missing when it comes to just making those plays. But I'm rooting for the kid. I think he's a terrific human being and a great player. So
let's move on to Florida Auburn, the biggest game this weekend. All of us on the sports cast picked Auburn except Ryan. What were your thoughts?
Man, you know what? Florida got to stop doubt. My goodness. they win, don't they? They keep on winning.
They find a way.
Bo Nix played terrible. I mean, it was on the road. It's a hostile environment against a very good defense. But he was bad. So that was number one. Number two, Kyle Trask. Hey, he even went out. Looked like he might have a serious knee injury. By the way, Emory Jones didn't look bad. They might have a decent quarterback in the future with him. But anyways, back to Trask. Trask, you know, played well, made the plays. Yeah, they won. And Auburn made some good plays on defense. Derrick Brown's a stud. I mean, kicked the ball out of Kyle Trask's hand. I mean, but Bo Nix is bad. I mean, he was really not good in that game.
I forgot to ask you.
Honestly, he's the reason why they lost.
For talent-wise, are these teams pretty even, or does one team have better talent than the other? Like, have you seen that stats, sir?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I have. My team talent formula, actually, if you go by the team talent formula, my team talent formula, or the team talent composite, they're pretty much the same. They're pretty close. It's pretty close. 843 points in the team talent composite, 247 for Auburn, 836 for Florida. So a slight edge to Auburn. And then in my team talent formula, I'm driving, so I can't get it.
That's okay.
I think it's like,
you're doing a good job.
Florida's like 75 and Auburn's like 80. There's not a drastic difference. Maybe a little slightly better talent for Auburn. I think it's like they have 3 5 stars as opposed to 1 5 star for Florida. But then when it comes to top 100 talent, it's like 12 to 11. Auburn maybe. Auburn maybe, but it's not a big difference. They're pretty equal. It was a pretty equal matchup, to be honest with you. And the big difference was home field advantage and a freshman quarterback. He really played like a freshman. So, yeah, it was a good game. Good victory by Florida.
Yeah, good job for Florida. It was a tough matchup. Florida went up to 10th or 7th place in the AP poll. We thought maybe 6th, but, you know, we'll see what happens with Oklahoma this weekend against Texas.
We did the sportscast top 10. I put Florida at 6.
Yeah. How far can this Florida team go, you think?
You know, Dan Mullen is a terrific coach. He really is. That defense is really good. I think there's still limitations at the quarterback position. I still think their offensive line is still so suspect. And they got beat up a couple times by that good defensive line by Auburn. I think they're a good team. I still don't think they have the talent of Georgia and LSU. That being said, wouldn't be shocked if they beat Georgia in that rivalry game. I would not be shocked.
Never better
chance. I think they're more talented, Georgia and LSU. And the analytics and the baseline talent definitely does that too. So we'll see.
Interesting, yeah. Which they play LSU this weekend. We'll get into the game predictions a little bit later on the show. Let's go look at the Pac-12 games. Scores, of course, Arizona beat Colorado 35-30. Oregon State beat UCLA 48-31. How about those Beavers?
Beavers have an offense. I've watched them play. Isaiah Hodgins, their wide receiver, is one of the best receivers in the Pac-12. Very good player. They have a good offense.
And, of course, we'll be eyeing the Pac-12. I'm looking at the Washington State game, and I forgot who was it.
Washington State. I can tell you.
What happened? Yeah.
Washington State didn't play. The big game was USC didn't play. So I'm going to go through the ones I can remember.
Washington State and Washington. Go with that one.
Washington State didn't play.
Okay. I got it from last week.
They
did.
Yep.
All right.
Who played?
Let me read like the Big Ten for you. Is that okay? Hold on. Let me read it to you.
I'm trying to think at the same time who played in the – oh, Arizona State.
Yeah.
Did they play?
No, it was
– didn't play either. Must have been
– Arizona and Colorado played. But yeah, a lot of bye weeks. Only
yeah,
like
– so Yeah, it's only 4 games. So it's Arizona won.
Washington beat Stanford.
Oregon State beat. And that was the one I really wanted to get to. Washington did beat.
No, Stanford beat Washington 23-13. Yeah.
And they beat him. And they beat them easily. That was the shocker. So yeah. Washington went in there a 2-touchdown favorite. And, well, you know, Washington, they've won 2 of the last 3 Pac-12 titles. They've won 10-plus games the last 3 years. 3 years ago, they made the college football playoff. So they get the benefit of the doubt. That's fair. So then you started here in Washington. Oh, Washington's back to being good. I think they're maybe the favorite. A lot of people started already talking about them being the favorite in the North. They got booty ramped by, 23-13 was the final score. But I saw that game. It was not very close. I don't know what the total offense differences were, but Stanford was like smashing them. They were running on them. They were passing on them. And then Washington defensively. That 23-13 game is very deceiving. That's not what the score looked more like 37-10. I mean, from what I saw from the second quarter on, and it was definitely a dominating performance by Stanford.
Yeah,
Washington. Yeah. Washington, I don't know. They don't. Their defensive line isn't great. They're not. Their rush defense is not very good. They run the ball average. Jacob Eason is plain and simple not that accurate. The receivers don't get open. Then they don't catch the ball. They're not very good. I'm gonna be honest. I've seen them play a couple times this year, and other than playing against FCS school and non-Power 5 school, the other games I've seen them in, including against USC, they didn't look very good. I don't think they have that great a team. I just don't think they're very good this year.
So this might ease the weight a little bit for Oregon when they play them later this season.
Well, yeah, Oregon plays next week. I don't go in there like that. It's a rivalry game. It's at Seattle. And Oregon, for all intents and purposes, hasn't always looked great this year either. So, especially offensively.
You're being
offensively,
fair there.
We straight up haven't looked good. Well, defensively, we look good. Offensively, yeah. We can't really look any better.
Look at the highlights earlier today. And Oregon's defense looks pretty good.
Oregon's defense is one of the best in the country. I mean, statistics say that. And yeah. Even the eyeballs, and they're good. I mean, they're good on secondary. Their linebackers are fast, fly the ball. The defensive line gets after the quarterback, stuffs the run. They're good defensively. Offensively, they can be better. Now, Washington, on the other hand, they're not great offensively, and they aren't that great defensively. So they're just plain and simple not that great. So, but they'll be better against Oregon. They'll bring their A game against Oregon.
Rivalry games are always rivalry games. Anyways.
Yep.
Let's look at the Big Ten game scores. Penn State beat Purdue 35-7. Michigan beat Iowa 10-3.
Okay. Yeah, that was exciting. That was one of the most exciting games I've ever seen. I'm kidding. It was so boring. Oh, my gosh. Michigan, they have no offense. But they have a pretty good defense. But their defense doesn't always play well. They look terrible against Wisconsin, so... I don't know. Who knows the Michigan? I wouldn't be betting a bunch of money. Their offense is not good. Shea Patterson's not a great quarterback. I don't know. They have no identity. They're not very good. But they beat Iowa. Iowa didn't look good either. And Michigan's defense played very well. They played very well in that game.
Wisconsin beat Kent State 48-0. Maryland beat Rutgers 48-7. Minnesota beat Illinois 40-17. Nebraska beat Northwestern 13-10.
Yep, Nebraska, man, their offense has been really surprisingly just not very good this year. I just don't know what's happened. Scott Frost obviously was the former offensive coordinator of Oregon. He was coached under Chip Kelly. I just think maybe that up-tempo has been figured out by defensive coordinators. It's just not working. That glitch isn't working anymore. You have to go with Lincoln Riley's system, the air raid, mixed in with Temple. I mean, you gotta keep on reinventing, because right now, Nebraska doesn't look great offensively, and actually, that's where all their talent is. Their quarterback, their running backs, their wide receivers, their most talented players on offense. Their defense has, been fairly good, other than the Ohio State game this year. And they're not even that talented, so... I don't know. I don't think Nebraska's not a great team right now. They're another team that I would expect to 6-6 or 7-5.
Question marks for Nebraska. Ohio State beat Michigan State 34-10. You think Ohio State is the best in the nation? At least for talent.
So far they are. Yeah. Well, talent, like I said, I've broken down a couple times. They're about them and Alabama are pretty close in Georgia, but. As far as being the best team, yeah, I think right now they're the best team.
Yep. Interesting to see. Anything else before we move on from college football?
I'm good.
Anyways, let's look at the NFL. Packers beat the Cowboys in a thriller. Aaron Rodgers starred. He had a great game with a comfortable win of 34-24. Rodgers... won again on AT&T Stadium. You can't stop him.
Yeah, he always beats the Cowboys. It's kind of funny. it was obviously a great victory, the game of the week. Kind of an odd game. Davante Adams, the all-pro wide receiver, ended it without with turf toe. So he was missing his best wide receiver. Completed like 4 or 5 passes the whole game to the wide receiver core. That's not great. But his tight ends were awesome. Jimmy Graham, Mercedes Lewis. I can't even remember the other guy. He's the undrafted free agent. But his tight ends were remarkable. Aaron Jones had 4 rushing touchdowns. Aaron Jones was also good in the pass game. And they made up for lack of production from the wide receiver core. And the defense, you know, opportunistic. They gave up some yards, but they forced turnovers, picked off Dak Prescott 3 times, and made plays when necessary, jumped out to a 31-3 lead. Got a little bit scary there for a bit because Dallas came roaring back and got within a touchdown, but they were able to seal the deal, made a pickoff, got a field goal, and then were able to hold Dallas, and Dallas missed kind of a chip shot field goal, to be honest. And that was the end of the game. So, good victory. I'm not totally sold yet. I don't love this. I didn't understand why they didn't draft a wide receiver. It was very annoying to me. Because they're not very good at the wide receiver core. Devontae Adams is good. The rest are average. Why they didn't draft, there was decent enough guys in the second and third round. Whatever, they didn't. They better draft a wide receiver this year, or I don't know what to say. But the wide receiver core is not great. But I like Aaron Jones. I mean, he's a good running back. He as a pass catcher, as a runner, 4 touchdowns, what tied up Green Bay Packers record for a game. And I like what the tight ends are doing. And they're even missing their draft pick, Jay Sternberger, but Lewis, whatever that other guy's name is, can't remember it, and Jimmy Graham all have been very productive from the tight end position. And Rodgers likes using the tight ends and running backs, especially since the wide receiver core is not great. So, a good victory. Once again, the defense, good secondary, made some interceptions. Zaire Alexander, Kevin King. I know Savage went out, but he's always a tremendous player. And then they got after the quarterback again, the 2 Smiths. And Rashawn Gary even was in there. I saw him making some plays, their first-round pick out of Michigan. So, good victory by the Packers. It was nice.
Remember when when we were predicting the Packers to pick a tight end, Noah Fant?
Yeah, and actually they ended up picking Jay Sternberger, which is a good pick, but he hasn't played yet this year.
Wow.
So they did end up taking the tight end. I just don't know why they didn't take a receiver. even Fant. But the tight ends have been good. The thing is Lewis, Graham, so I'm not having a problem with the tight end group. He's a wide receiver. He could use some better wide receivers. But we're 4-1. We're doing good. We have a good team. We have a good defense. But, you know, I think at times, we'll just see how the future holds. So,
I do want to give a shout out to Nick Bosa. Had a great game last night against the Browns. He plays for San Francisco. Had 2 sacks. So far, Bosa's having a good season.
Yeah, and he did the stomping the flag in the ground, mimicking goofball.
Baker Mayfield. Anyways, San Francisco is looking good. They're 4-0. People might say they're the best team in the NFC West, but we'll see about that. There's still more time to go. So.
Yeah, and Seattle's pretty good. The Rams are still pretty good. Yeah. People always jump from like A to Z.
Yeah, you can't win a Super Bowl in October, you know, or a conference in October. Anyways, anything else before we head into the big game predictions?
Let's go. Let's set up the game predictions.
This is going to be fun. Oklahoma at Texas.
Well, you know, the thing is, Oklahoma kind of, like, everyone's like, oh, Oklahoma's amazing. They're awesome. They're the greatest thing since sliced bread, blah, 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 blah. Oklahoma's like nobody. They said absolutely Tom, Dick, and Harry. That sucks. That matters. That matters when it comes to rankings. And I think it's going to also matter this week. Because I think that defense, defense looks better. Let's see how they look against Sam Ellinger and the Texas offense. I'm rooting for Texas. I'm going to put that out there. That being said, a lot of injuries on Texas, especially on the defense, and their defense isn't great. Combination of just not great. I don't know if it's talent or what. They're just not great. Or scheme. Something needs to be different. Texas, they gave 31 to West Virginia. I don't think West Virginia is that good. Screw it. I think Texas wins. I think they win the rivalry. I think the fact that Oklahoma has not played anybody, I think they're going to get shocked. I think Ellinger's going to make some big-time plays. I will continue to say I think Sam Ellinger is maybe the best quarterback this year when it comes to being college quarterback. I think he's a good player. You know, he's not an NFL guy, but he's a guy that makes plays. Reminds me of Tim Tebow. He makes the necessary pass when necessary. He makes the necessary run when necessary. He's tough. And I like Sam Ellinger. I think he's the quarterback. So I think they're going to beat him.
And will be a close game, you think?
Yeah, I think it'll be a close game. Yeah, I do.
Michigan.
I think it'll be high scoring. I think it'll be like 48-41 or something.
Of course,
like that.
It's a typical Oklahoma game. Michigan State at Wisconsin.
You know, Wisconsin's just pretty good right now. Pretty good in defense, pretty good in offense. I don't think Michigan State's going to – they don't have the offense. They're not going to score any points. So, Wisconsin.
Alabama at Texas A&M.
I think A&M, I don't even know why they're rated. I said that in the chat. I've seen them play. I don't think they're very good. I think Kellen Mond, every time he plays against a team that's – talking about Justin Herbert. When Kellen Mond plays a team with a pulse, he doesn't do anything. Alabama.
Penn State at Iowa.
Okay, on the surface, you saw Iowa last week. Penn State's looked good. Problem is, Penn State hasn't really played anyone. Iowa at night in Kinnick Stadium tend to beat people. Beat Ohio State a couple years ago by 30. They had Penn State beat a couple years ago, but Penn State was able to win the game on a last-second walk-off touchdown. They beat Michigan a couple years ago when Michigan was actually in the playoff contention and was actually ranked to be a playoff team. They beat them. It's tough to beat Iowa in Kinnick Stadium. They're tricky good. That being said, I think Penn State is a little too talented, especially defensively. And what I saw with Iowa on offense is they're not very good. Well, Penn State's pretty good on defense, especially in the front seven. I think they have a front seven as good as anyone in college football. I don't think they're going to score enough. I think it's going to be a sneaky close game. I think it's going to be like 17-14. But I think Penn State will win.
Penn State wins. USC and Notre Dame.
USC is bipolar as you can get. They have a lot of talent, but who knows what they're going to look like from week to week. I get a little more consistency out of Notre Dame. It is a rivalry game. I think Notre Dame is the better team. Notre Dame.
Notre Dame wins. UF, the Florida Gators at LSU.
Okay. Now, so what's the game of the week? What is the game of the week this week?
I think it's
UF versus LSU or no, not Oklahoma, Texas?
Oh, man.
Close, yeah. That's why this is a good week. I mean, you got four top 25 matchups. You got several other borderline. You have Clemson even versus Florida State, which is, you know, a rivalry. But you know what? I hate, you know, UF. I've bet against them so many times. But LSU is just more talented. LSU, UF going into LSU, Baton Rouge is a tough place to win.
Oh, yeah.
I got it. I'm going LSU. I'm sorry. I just think they're a little better. They're a little better on paper. They're a little better overall when you break down efficiency. Their defense isn't playing as well as they could. I'm not looking at the efficiency, but I remember seeing it, and I was a little shocked that LSU was so low. I don't even think they're top 25 defensively right now. And they haven't played anyone other than Texas. They haven't played anyone else that's that great. Maybe the Texas game brought down their – but. With all the players they have, and Grant Delpit and Christian Fulton and Javion Chasen, and Jacob Phillips, you just think they'd be a little better defensively. I don't know why they're not. But offensively, they're terrific. Joe Burrow has been one of the better quarterbacks this year. I think they win it.
You are not picking any. You are. Okay. Let's go on. Colorado at Oregon.
Colorado upset them. I'm just kidding. No. I think Colorado's offense scores more than anyone else this season, except for Auburn. And Auburn was a little tricky. So those points are scored when the defense was super tired late. The three quarters of defense played really good against Auburn, too. I think they scored 24 points, but I do think this is the best offensive outing against a Power 5 school for Oregon. I don't think Colorado's good defensively. I don't think they're good against the pass. I know Justin Herbert. When he plays teams that aren't good, he looks like Dan Marino. I think his wide receivers are going to be open. I think he's going to throw about 5 touchdown passes, 4 or 5. I think they're going to win 41-24.
Wow.
I just think their offense. And then the narrative that, oh, man, the offense is back. Do I think that's necessarily true? No, because I think Colorado's defense is terrible. So just because they have a bunch of points against, I want to see them score points against Washington and Washington. I want to see them score points against Arizona State and Arizona State. Scoring points against a terrible Colorado defense at home doesn't mean their offense is back. But I do think the outside window dressing of looking like their offense is back will be there after a 41-point performance. And I think you'll start hearing Justin Herbert again. Oh, well, he has 20 touchdowns, 1 interception. Maybe he's a dark horse candidate for the Heisman. So, yeah, I think they have a good offensive week. It's on Friday night, too. Watch this game. Not a Saturday game. It's Friday night
game. That's a huge
FS1.
One. FS1.
Yep.
Let's go NFL Philadelphia Eagles at Minnesota Vikings.
Vikings
win. Wow. That's a big prediction. Detroit at Green Bay.
Green Bay. Detroit's not bad, though.
Detroit's not bad.
For secondary here. Yeah, Green Bay. But Detroit's not bad. Detroit's a decent team this year.
And should the NBA boycott China?
Why?
Because one of the Houston Rockets manager was going for the Hong Kong protesters, and China did not like that, and they canceled the TV broadcast over some of the games.
Okay, well, yeah, I wouldn't be doing anything with China. Their human rights violations are well attributed. It's a communist nation that's basically enslaved their mass of their population in order for growth for the government. I mean, no, I don't. I'm not for China with anything. I don't want any Americans having relationships with China.
Will you
it's
be
horrible what they've done? They abort their any child other than the oldest. I mean, come on, that's terrible. No. Yeah.
Will you be seeing the Joker movie?
I
lost you.
I don't know.
Okay.
People say it's really good. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
People say it's really good. Well, they say Joaquin Phoenix is a very good actor.
Yeah.
I hear it's kind of disturbing, though. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, don't take your kids.
No, but he's a good actor. I think he's one of the best actors.
Anyways, Tyler, what is the best way to reach you to talk to you about Justin Herbert?
At TurnerCast.
At TurnerCast, and you can reach us at thesportscast.net or on Twitter at thesportscast1. Will you be live tweeting the Colorado Oregon game?
Yep, I'll be live tweeting Colorado Oregon, and then Saturday, I will probably take what time's A&M in Alabama? Because I know Justin will have that.
Let me see on that one. That feels like a 3 o'clock game. Just feels it. Let me see. 3 o'clock Eastern. It'd be 3:30 Eastern.
So the night game is
UFLSU
versus Florida.
Yeah.
Sure. I'll do UFL. Yeah, I'll do that.
That's going to be an interesting game. We'll be live tweeting those two games. Well, three
and
games.
And probably someone will do Oklahoma, Texas too. Maybe Justin will. Or
actually, yeah, either Justin or Kailu. I'll definitely will be confirming with them. But definitely follow this weekend.
No, that's a bit. I mean, you have to get all three. Those are 3 top 25 matchups. I mean, how many weeks do you get that?
I don't remember. A lot of talent in those 3 games.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you gotta live tweet those games.
Anyways, thesportscast.net, at thesportscast1 on Twitter. It's been a great chatting with you, Tyler. Let's go, Ducks.
Go, Ducks.